The Bible says, keep thy heart, guard it, protect it. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Work very hard at this.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Jesus tells us in this beatitude that the highest joy, what is your highest joy? Someday you'll have to decide that. Because whatever delights you will direct you, it will control you, it will consume you. Jesus tells us in this beatitude that the highest joy possible is to see God, to anticipate that when we die, we will be ushered into the presence of God in heaven, and to see Him in all the workings of our life on a day-by-day basis. Wherever we look, the sincere and devoted Christian, the disciple of Jesus Christ, sees God. And the highest joy of man is to see God. And Jesus tells us in this beatitude, not only is that true, but He tells us in addition that we cannot see Him unless we are pure in heart. That is a powerful mandate. Unless we are pure in heart, we cannot see God. It's critical, it's important that we develop the capacity to see God. We ought to crave that vision as our highest joy. Every one of us should crave the kind of purity of heart that will give to us a full-fledged vision. We ought to build our lives on the solid foundation of an eternal union with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gives to us some very powerful words in this beatitude that will help us to understand what this concept is all about. That every one of us should crave the kind of purity of heart that will give us a full-fledged vision of God here and now and in the hereafter. Now, there are three key words. Here they are. The first word is heart, and that will spell for us the sphere of purity. The second word is pure, and that will spell for us the substance of purity. And the third word is see. They shall see God. And that will spell for us the sequel, that which logically follows, that which naturally follows, the sequel to purity. Now let's look at this for a moment. First, let's look at the word heart. That's a very critical term, your heart. That's the sphere of purity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned about the heart. All of its emphasis is upon the heart. The heart is the whole center of the teaching of Jesus Christ. He was always dealing with the heart. Now let me approach that subject of the heart from a twofold perspective. Let me just say very briefly what it does not mean, what the heart is not. And then let me say as quickly as I can what it does mean. What is the heart? The heart is not three things. The heart is not, first of all, something purely emotional. We have a way of imputing emotion to the word heart. It's much deeper than that. It's not something purely emotional. I want to go a step further and say it's not something purely behavioral. Christianity is not primarily a matter of conduct and external behavior. It is preeminently an issue of the heart. The Pharisees were always majoring on external actions, ceremonial ritual. This people draweth near to me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, Jesus said, but their heart is far from me. That's religion. Now I want to go a step further. Jesus would tell us the heart is not something purely emotional, and the heart is not something purely behavioral, and the heart is not something purely intellectual. But now we've seen what the heart is not. What is the heart? What do we mean by the heart? Now I just want to say two things about it. And these are not deep thoughts, what I'm going to say, but I think they're biblical thoughts. I believe they represent what the Bible teaches. What did Jesus mean when He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God"? I would say that the heart is two things, very simply. First, the heart is the center of our being. And second, the heart is the source of our troubles. One, the heart is the center of our being. It's always defined that way in the Bible, as the center of man's being and personality. It is the fount out of which everything else flows. The very words that are used in the Hebrew and Greek language to translate heart mean at their root center. That's why Solomon said in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart, and he meant guard it, protect it. Be careful what you allow into that heart through the eye gate and the ear gate. Think of the pollutants in our culture, in the media, that we allow in at the eye gate and the ear gate, which pollute the heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart, guard it, protect it. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Work very hard at this. For out of the heart are the issues of life. In other words, the heart is the very source, the very fountain, the very core, the very root of your inner being. And if at the source of your being there are these pollutants, you can be sure that it will devastate every facet of your life, including your eternal destiny. Sin befogs the mind and darkens the eyes so that we can't see the things that really matter. The heart is the very center of a man's being. But now the heart is something else. The heart is the source of all of our troubles. And you know, when Jesus said that, he flew right into the face of both ancient and modern psychiatry and psychology. The heart is the source of all our troubles. No, we say, no, the heart's not our problem. Modern man says, no, it's something else. It's the man's environment, it's the man's economy, it's the man's education. If you could change his environment, if you could give him a better education, if you could give him more money, if he had a bath and a half and two-car garage, everything would be all right. Some people really believe that. They think the solution to man's problems is real estate. Change his education, his economy, his environment, you'll change him. It's unbiblical, and it doesn't work. It's not right. We learn, secondly, in the Bible that the heart is always the seat or the source of all of our problems and all of our troubles, all the uglinesses that have contaminated humanity in one way or another, all of them flow out from the pollutants residing in a man's heart. And the terrible, tragic fallacy of the last 100 years of modern history, the terrible, tragic fallacy of the last 100 years has been to think that all of man's troubles are due to his environment, and that all you need to do to change the man is to change his environment. First of all, that's absolutely impossible. Let me ask you something. Is it easier to change a man or to change his entire environment? You know what that is to me? That's environmental determinism. You say, well, what is that? What is environmental determinism? You know what that term means to me? It means that a man's destiny is fixed by his environment and that there's nothing he can do to help himself. If a man really believes that it's environment that causes him to misbehave, he's a prisoner of his environment. He can't change his environment, but he can change himself. God can change him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond that, it's not only an impossible thing, it's a fallacious thing. It's false. I think men who believe that have overlooked the very obvious fact that it was in a perfect environment that mankind first went wrong. Where did man first go wrong? He went wrong in the Garden of Eden, a perfectly delightful, abundant and affluent environment where he had day by day, moment by moment, communion with God, personal revelation from God. In the cool of the day, he met with God. In the evening hours, he met with God. In that perfect environment, he went wrong. You know, the solution to man's need is not to take the man out of the slums. It is to take the slums out of the man. It is to clean him up from the inside out. It is to purify the very core and center of his being. The solution is to cleanse his heart. Some of us, we're imputing blame to someone else. I have a bad attitude, Pastor, and I have bad behavior, and I want to tell you something. It's somebody else's problem. No, it's not. It's yours. It's mine. When I have a bad attitude, when I have bad behavior, it isn't somebody else's problem. It's my problem. There's a problem lurking down in my heart. It's a heart problem. Because we can find somebody else in this world that is in just as difficult straits or circumstances as you and I are, and maybe even more difficult circumstances, who have a radiant joy attached to their being. And that radiant joy comes from their union with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when that radiant joy evaporates, it's because there's something down in our hearts that's unworthy. Take any problem in life. Any problem in life, anything that leads to wretchedness, to misery, to unhappiness, Anything that leads to sorrow and division and hatred, find out its cause. Trace it all the way back to its source, and you will always discover that it comes from somewhere inside of the heart. From some unworthy and selfish desire or motive, personal gain, revenge, I'm going to get even, covetousness, pride, hatred, lust, it comes from somewhere down inside the heart. It's always that way. It begins in the heart, at the very center of our being, ruptures in marriages, ruptures in families, ruptures in human relationships, ruptures in churches. They begin in the heart. They come to the surface. That's where we're impure. That's where we're unclean. And that's what must be cleansed and purified, our hearts. You know, that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says it begins in the heart. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. That is, who can fathom the potential wickedness of the human heart? Who can know it? Solomon said the heart of the sons of man is full of evil. And listen to this. Madness or insanity is in their heart while they live. Ecclesiastes 9, and verse 3. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness or insanity, literally, is in their heart while they live. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. You remember God's indictment of humanity at the time of the Noahic flood when the entire world was destroyed? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only, that means exclusively, the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was something wrong in his heart. You remember what Jesus Christ said? Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, that's sexual impurity, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, that's immorality, an evil eye, that's envy, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil come from within and defile the man. They're lurking in a man's heart. These deformities do not emerge from a man's environment, a man's education, or a man's economy. They come from the heart. So what are we taught about the heart? That's a key word in this beatitude. If we want to see God here and now and in the hereafter, we need a pure heart. Now we know what the heart is. It's not something simply intellectual, something behavioral, something emotional. The heart of man is the center of man's being, and it's the source of man's problems. It is the heart that needs a cleansing. If we would wish to change, Pastor, I want to change. Maybe our hearts need a cleansing. Maybe we need to be born again. Maybe we've never really been saved. And if we are saved, is there that devotion in our heart which is pleasing to God? It's the heart that needs a cleansing if we want to change. It's precisely that which God provides through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
It means to be unmixed, to be unalloyed, free from pollutants, single-minded in our devotion to Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.